Hello, everybody, and welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network. My name is Jeff Bradbury. Thank you so much for joining us today and making TeacherCast your home for professional development. On today's episode of Digital Learning Today, we're going to talk all about instructional coaching and how you guys can take a part in instructional coaching professional development this summer at the Simply Coaching Summit. That's right. This year, the Simply Coaching Summit is happening on July 6th through 8th. There's amazing speakers. I'm going to be there and showing off some of the great things that we've been doing in the world of instructional coaching. And you can have an opportunity by heading over to simplycoaching.co. Check out great speakers such as Dr. Jim Knight, Gretchen Bridgers, Chrissy Beltran, Stephanie Howell, Allison Peterson, and so many more. And if you're looking for some great instructional coaching resources, I recently updated the entire TeacherCast portfolio of my coaching podcast, my blog posts, all of my digital downloads and giveaways. Head on over to yourdigitallearningcoach.com. You can check out all the great resources, whether you're looking for a job, coming back to your coaching for the 15th year, or anywhere in between. Head on over to yourdigitallearningcoach.com and find out more information about how you can kick up your instructional coaching program today. My guest today is an author, writer. She has a fantastic newsletter, blogger. She's got a fantastic Teachers Pay Teachers store. And she's also the creator of Buzzing with Mrs. B and an amazing instructional coach at that. I want to bring on today Miss Chrissy Beltran. Chrissy, how are you today? Welcome to the show.
I am great and I am so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me because I've really been looking forward to it.
Me too. I've been wanting to have you on the program for quite some time. I follow you all over the place. I've subscribed to your newsletter. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff in the world of instructional coaching, talk a little bit about some of your sessions coming up over the summertime where we can learn about you. But first of all, let's just kind of peel the onion here. Chrissy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right, sure. I am a teacher turned instructional coach turned consultant, really. And now I create resources and support coaches and the hard work that they do. I am also a mom. I have two fantastic kids. They are 8 and 5 years old. And so I work during the day on coaching and then I pick them up from school and I'm a mom. So that's what my life looks like.
I hear a lot of myself in that answer.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that I'm excited about is that this summer, you and I are both going to be presenting at the Simply Coaching Summit. You can find more information over at simplycoaching.co. And you've got a pretty interesting topic this year. Tell us a little bit about what we're going to be learning from you.
Thanks so much. Yeah, I've done the summit since the year that it was created. And so I love trying to think of new and engaging topics for coaches that are relevant. So this year I'm working with action plans. Coaches have to figure out how to provide support to teachers across their whole school. They have to provide differentiated support to teams. They have to support individual teachers. And so this session actually walks them through how to create a 3-tiered action plan to support teachers in all of those different levels.
And how do they do that? What are some of the things that we can be thinking about as we go into the summit and check out your sessions?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. There is some thinking you can do about that in advance, because one of the things that you do to get started is do some sort of a needs assessment and collect some data. So if you can take a look at your classrooms and get your own observational data, if you can communicate with your administrator and get their input on the trends that they are seeing across their school, you can gather data that you have, end of year data or common assessments that you've worked with throughout the school year, benchmarks, whatever big things you have that can kind of point to where students are doing well. And then you can visit your classrooms and really record information from teachers. Ask them to tell you a little bit about what they're interested in learning it about, what their needs are, where they feel like their kids are struggling, where the kids are coming prepared and not so much. And then we're going to put those four pieces of data together to create a needs assessment that will guide your action planning.
That sounds like an interesting topic. Is there anything that you're hoping that teachers take away from that?
Yeah. Well, I think what I really want them to take away is guidance in where to spend their time during the school year, because it's very easy to feel like you have to do all the things. And one of the questions that we get the most as coaches of coaches is, how do I work with all my teachers? How do I support every single classroom? Because we feel the pressure of making sure that every classroom is educating their students to the best of their ability. And we know how valuable that is and how many things can go wrong in the classroom whenever there isn't enough support provided. And so because coaches are trying to figure this out, I think that having a written plan that helps you focus on your tier one, which is your PD for your entire school, on your differentiated teams, so PLC meetings or whatever structure you use, what topics are you covering, you know, how are you helping teachers work together? And then tier three is your individual coaching that you're doing with teachers. If we have a plan that identifies where we're headed with each of those things, we can stop just kind of throwing random trainings out there and hoping that something is going to stick.
You can find out more information about the summit this year over at simplycoaching.co. Again, it's going to be July 6th through 8th. Amazing speakers, Dr. Jim Knight, Gretchen Bridgers, Chrissy, of course, Stephanie Howell, Allison Peterson, and myself, and many, many others. Check out the Simply Coaching Summit this year. You guys can't miss this one. Now, Chrissy, you and I have been, running back and forth in our social circles. Like, this is the first time I've had you on the show. Talk to us a little bit about your amazing website. How did you come up with Coaching with Mrs. B?
Oh, wow. That's a question I haven't been asked in a really long time. The truth is, I was, as a classroom teacher, one year I had a bunch of stars in my classroom, and the next year I put up a bunch of I don't remember what's, and then my students said, you should have a classroom theme, and I said, what should it be? And they said, bees, because you're Miss Bee. And I said, that's adorable. I will absolutely do that, because I do love bees, and I think they're charming and also fantastic. So I kind of just started putting up bee stuff as a classroom teacher. So then whenever I created my first blog, and this was back in the olden times, whenever I think like the only teacher blog that I knew about was Step Into Second Grade with Mrs. Lemons. That was like the OG, right, of blogs. And so whenever I created mine, because I was like, wow, people actually do this. They write about their profession and that would be so much fun. And I love to talk about teaching. So let's do it. I was like, what should I name it? And Buzzing with Miss B just was the first and only name that I thought of. And that is what I went with. So that is why I am still Buzzing with Miss B. I've just stuck it out.
You know, for any instructional coach, it is a fantastic website, blogs, podcast resources. How'd you get into podcasting?
Hell yeah, I did back in, you won't believe, it was actually in February of 2020. I had been talking with a friend of mine, and it was right before everybody else jumped on the podcast wagon, right? So I was talking with my friend about the podcast she was listening to, which was Cult of Pedagogy. And she said, you know, I just feel like you could offer that to coaches. And I was like, that's an interesting idea. I hadn't really thought about that. I enjoy podcasts. I'm a huge podcast fan. And so I listen to many of them. And I thought, I guess that is something to think about. And it just kind of sat in the back of my mind until I was working with Nicole Turner, actually the one who hosts the Simply Coaching Summit every year. And we were working on our membership, Coffee and Coaching, which, you know, if anybody remembers that, that was a really fun time. And she said, you should do a podcast. That would be great for you to do. And I was like, okay, I'm hearing input from the universe. And so I just decided to bite the bullet and I have really loved it. It's changed over the years. My episodes used to be super long, you know, over time, people have like with their short commutes are like, I want to spend 20 minutes listening to a podcast on my way to school and that's it. And so it's just been a really interesting project and I've got to meet so many great people in this world of education.
And when you're working with your guests, when you're working in your instructional coaching world, what topics do you find that coaches are looking for? What are the big things on coaches' minds these days?
Boy, it's a mixed bag. I definitely hear a lot about coaching resistant teachers. I hear a lot about, like I said before, trying to get to every teacher. How do I reach every teacher? I hear a lot about, you know, oh, this is our school initiative and I'm trying to make this happen, but there's a lot of resistance about it, or teachers are unfamiliar, or we don't have enough time in PD to really dig into it. How can we make that work? And so coaches are always trying to do more with less and less time. Their roles are often not clearly defined at the school level. So many principals don't even really know how they can use an instructional coach. And so those are really the questions that are, they are current and they are also forever because they are the underlying issue because we have so much turnover in schools. It seems like we are always starting over with some of these issues.
Well, let's start there. You know, we're recording this at the end of a school year, but for most coaches, they're probably going to start to listen to episodes like this one as they start getting prepared for a brand new school year. Mm-hmm. I remember being an instructional coach for 15 years going, all right, my school year doesn't necessarily start on July 1st, but I always used to think it started on August 1st, mm-hmm. still before teachers came in. Mm-hmm. But when do we start figuring out how to meet with our administrators? When do we start to introduce ourselves back into the building? What advice do you give instructional coaches to start the year? When should we be, you know, emailing and saying, can I come in? Can I do a classroom walk? Can we have those conversations? It's not the first day of school.
Right. Yes. We definitely want to have a presence at school before school starts. You know, whenever I was a classroom teacher, we would spend the month of July calling the school and asking if we could get in there yet. Can we get in there yet? Are our rooms ready? Are our rooms ready? Can we get in there? And they're like, oh, they're still waxing the floors. Oh, they're still doing this. And then the minute they were available, I was like, I'm blocking off a week and I'm going to get in that room. And that is when I needed to see my coach, right? I needed to see my coach whenever I was there a week early before a professional development or 2 weeks early to set up my classroom. Now, the reality is you can't always go spend a week or two just of your own free time without even being, you know, covered in your contract hours. But if you can make an effort to get up to the school, you know, kind of coordinate with teachers a little bit before the school year. One of the things that we did when I was a new coach, I'd been coaching for a few years, is my principal would actually pay teachers to come in for a day in the summer, one day to plan literacy and the next day to plan math and science. They could actually choose. It didn't have to be consecutive. They can choose when they wanted them. They agreed on the dates, and then I would go on the literacy days and our math and science coach would go on the math and science days and facilitate that planning. And having that in place before the school year started, all the teachers were like, okay, I feel so much better. I know what's coming. I know if there are new initiatives coming from the district, they're not going to be dumped on me my first day of professional development like usual, and I've already got my whole room set up and I just found out I need a math and science word wall somewhere, right? They knew in advance what was coming and they felt so much better about starting the school year. And I think those conversations are important. Right?
Many coaches, I would say all, but many coaches are on teacher contracts, which means they're not getting paid over the summertime, but those moments in the building in August are very valuable, especially if you can get an hour or two uninterrupted with your administration team just to have those conversations. Now, when we do have those conversations, what types of questions, what types of conversation should we be having with our administrators?
I'd say it has to move in a couple of different directions. The one main direction you need to move into is defining your role clearly. Even if you were there last year, even if you have the same administrator, you want to really nail down what responsibilities are going to be in your purview. How are you, you know, expected to work with teachers? What is the main schedule going to look like for team meetings? Are you going to be facilitating those? What is your role in those meetings? Are teachers going to be asked to work with you? Do you ask to work with them? How does, you know, people enroll teachers in coaching cycles in very different ways at different schools, right? So we really want to get a handle on that coaching role. And then you also want to get a handle on the actual direction that we're taking for instruction. So if you're looking at some main initiatives across the school that everybody's going to be working, like I mentioned earlier, on academic vocabulary, you want to get your head around that so you know that as you are working with your teachers early in the school year, you're going to already have some thoughts about it. You've already kind of spent some time thinking and looking up resources. You want to make sure that you have kind of a game plan, because if you don't know what's going to be expected of teachers, how can you support them in that? And that's an issue that we sometimes see is administrators make decisions, coaches are not always part of that process, and then they're left scrambling to try to figure out how to present it to teachers.
You know, one of those things that we want to talk about over the summertime with your principal is scripting or planning out that introduction. How is the principal going to be saying, here's Chrissy, she's a coach? And then the teacher's like, well, what is a coach? What does a coach do? How do you recommend that first day be successful? I've seen a lot of coaches walk away where they just go, and she's the coach today. And then they're just left fending for themselves for the whole year. And I've seen situations where they go, this is the coach. This is the expectation. These are our missions. This is what we're looking for. And suddenly the coach actually has a purpose in the eyes of all of this, all of the teachers.
Yes, absolutely.
How do you script out, or how do you plan with that principal how you're going to be introduced?
Yeah, that's a good question. I actually was writing about that today because I, in my instructional coaching club, my membership for coaches, I write a little article every month to go with our resource drop. And so this month, well, it's actually for July, I was writing, was all about mistakes I made as a new coach. And one of them was that I allowed myself to be introduced as the expert. I did not know how I was going to be introduced. We had not had a conversation about it. My principal, we were both new. Me and my math and science counterpart were both new. And my principal said, and I had just met the woman, you know, a month before, she said, and I would love to introduce you to our new our new coaches, they are our experts in reading and writing and in math and science, and they are here to help you. And we were like, hey, and we waved. And that was pretty much the extent of that interaction. And that was not great, because if you are introduced as an expert, people automatically feel like you are there to tell them what they're doing wrong. It creates this barrier between you two, as in, you know what you're doing and they do not. It's not even anything anybody says. It's just sort of implied unintentionally. And so we want to make sure that teachers understand the role of the coach, what the coach is and is not. And I find an is not approach is a really handy way to do this, because everybody has worked with somebody who, whether they were a coach or not, they kind of envision in that way. Somebody who went into classrooms and provided some support or didn't, looked at data with them or didn't, or, you know, criticize their data or whatever. We want to make sure that we are distinguishing, this is what this person is here to do and for what purpose. And this is how you ask for that help if you want it. And also they will offer it to you, you know, at any point. And this is not what they are here to do. They are not here to criticize. They are not here to pass judgment on your teaching. They are not here to tattle to the administration. They are not here to sit in their office all day and do data reports. They are here to provide, to be a learning partner for you as you are trying out things in your classroom, to solve the challenges that all teachers have in their classrooms. Everybody has challenges, not just new teachers and not just struggling teachers. And I think that's where we miss the mark.
How do we do that, right? Because mm-hmm. I don't believe that your principal set up to sabotage your entire 190 days in the school district, right? She didn't know that she was setting you up, right? And I had a very similar experience. My first coaching, I had a number of different buildings. I was the only coach in the district. And I walked around and it was the introduction of, yep, he's the guy, he's the Google expert, he's the Google guru. And I was shot from day one.
Yes.
Because nobody.
And you might not have even realized it at the time.
At the time, I didn't realize
it. I didn't either.
And honestly, that's one of the reasons why I keep bringing this topic up on the podcast, is because you don't realize that. Now, obviously, as the instructional coach, you don't want to give your principal a script, but you should help them, if they're willing to mm-hmm. be helped.
Yes.
Guide the conversation.
I find having something on paper is really important. So I actually, in my Teachers Pay Teacher store, I actually do have a document that says an instructional coach is and is not, because we want it to be spelled out in black and white. And so if you can actually take that with you to your dialogue with your administrator, or take any other document, just Google it. There's a million options. You know, take any document that you like or that you have adjusted, and take that to your administrator. Get the language nailed down together. Make sure they're on board with all of the statements on there and that they agree. Create your own version if necessary. You provide that to your teachers. And so they are having this conversation with teachers, are introducing you, and they're saying, and look at this. On paper, this is what we have decided. Now, coach's role isn't always set in stone, but these are the things that we think are important enough about coaching that we wrote them down and we are sharing them with you so that you know what we're here to do. And I think that has to be done more than once, because they do it one time during in-service and then everybody forgets who you are. Nobody goes to, you know, they're like, that's that person who's, you know, what does she do here? Like, I forgot. You know, they just don't pay attention sometimes because they've got plenty of other things to think about. So I think we need multiple exposures to that information for our teachers too.
So we have our conversation with our principal. We know how we're going to get introduced. The next thing I think that coaches need to be thinking about as we head into the summer is communication. And that is something that I know is near and dear to your heart. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I follow your newsletter. I see a lot of coaches spending hours making beautiful looking websites that sometimes work, sometimes don't. I see coaches mm-hmm. trying to make gorgeous looking, you know, s'more newsletters or really. What advice do you have, especially either over the summertime, those first couple days, and then really into the first couple months here? What should communication look like? Should it be all nice and happy and fancy? Should it just be to the point? Should it just be, yo, I'm here? Should it be, when can I come and see you? What should a coach have in their communication quiver?
That's such a good question. And I think there's a lot of possible answers for that. But the first thing I thought of as we were talking is one time over the summer, we just started getting, I was a classroom teacher, and we just started getting emails from somebody. And their name was on the bottom of the email. It was like from so-and-so. And we were like, who is this person? And we had no knowledge of who they were. You know, flash forward to the beginning of the school year, it turns out that was our new special ed inclusion teacher. But we had no clue who this person was. So if you're going to introduce yourself over the summer, one, keep in mind, not everybody's going to read it. That's just the reality. And you really can't ask people to give more than they're giving. So I think that that is okay if not everybody reads everything you write over the summer. Two, start with introducing who you are, because nobody knows who, if you're new to a school, no one has, just putting your name on something, they don't even maybe know that you got hired. I mean, they have no knowledge of you. So you want to start out by saying, this is who I am, and I'm looking forward to this. And just keep it simple, you know, add a picture. Put your face out there if they don't know. And even if you've worked at the school for a year or two, put your face out there, and especially if you have multiple campuses. They need to be able to recognize you and, you know, make it easy for people. You know, something that we know is that our brain expends calories when we try to figure things out, right? We're burning up calories. And the more people, more calories we ask people to burn up in order to understand us, the less likely they are to waste those calories understanding us. So if it takes them longer than a couple of seconds to figure out what's up, delete. They are going to delete it and move on with their lives, because they do not have time for that, especially in June when they want to be by the pool with a book. So we have to keep it simple. I think visual is great. Color is great. That was actually one of the things that I was considering when I created Instructional Coaching Club, is how burdened we are with stuff. And if opening something can feel like a treat, then we might open it, right? So that's why I went with a magazine cover as the monthly drop. Every month, my members get a magazine cover with all of the information linked there on the cover. It's like a 90s style cover. And so if you can create something visually interesting, I mean, Canva is, it's all there, guys. Just search for a template you like and go to town. You don't have to have really any requisite skills to be able to use that. If we can make it visually interesting and simple, very simple, people are more likely to read it. So I wouldn't get into details about initiatives. I just really get into the idea that you're excited to support them, that these are a couple of ways you might try supporting them, and that you would also love to hear from them what they want from you. And just keep it simple over the summer.
And my recommendation on top of that is, if you're going to do an introduction newsletter in August, mm-hmm. send the same email out on September 1st, right? Just make it easy. Hi, by the way, for those of you who just got hired last week, right? Because you never know. You're still hiring people. The last day of summer break. This is who I am. This is what I'm here for. This is why I'm here. And this is how I can help you out.
Yep. And for those of you who just dug to the bottom of your email from August, you're still not there yet.
I first of all, Chrissy, thank you so much for coming on the show. I want to hit one more topic, which you've mentioned a couple of times. We talk about it here a lot. Data collection, right?
Yes.
I can't tell you how many times we've talked on this show about getting your Google Forms ready, creating your data dashboards, figuring things out. Mm-hmm. It's not a topic that comes naturally to a lot of coaches. We come from the classroom. Suddenly we have our first coaching job. The bell rings. We're sitting in the hallway. I don't know what to do next.
Yes.
I'm on camera standing in the hallway. I go back to my office. This is a data-driven position. Mm-hmm. Can't tell you how many times we've had the conversation. I've even written it in my book, Impact Standards. How do you use data to justify, to promote, and ultimately, how do you keep your job for next year? How do you do all this stuff?
Yeah.
Can you give us and look, we can have a full podcast just on this, and I'd love that. Give us the overall. What kind of data should we be looking at? When should we be looking at? And how should we be looking at it?
You know, that's a big one. I think that we have to consider different facets of this, because we are easily, I certainly was, held accountable for state testing data and for common assessment data at the school. As an instructional coach who was working with a K-5 campus, I was held accountable if the literacy scores dropped. It was like, what are you doing? What are you not doing? So I had to justify everything that I was doing to provide support in order for those scores to continue to go up. It it's not always a one-to-one ratio, right? It doesn't always work that, oh, I do a better job, therefore the scores are better. It's not how it works. Our game is a long game. It's not a short game. And so sometimes we don't see the response to our coaching for a long time. And so that can be a piece of the way that you look at your success, but it can't be all of it, because that does not encompass everything you do. It doesn't even encompass everything that classroom teacher does. And they're working with those kids every day. So that's one piece of what you want to look at. But the other piece is you want to get surveys and responses from teachers about how your coaching has impacted their work. So if you have, you know, really simple document at the beginning of the year where you ask them about their goals, what they're interested in working with you on, what kinds of topics they're wanting to learn, problems that they're having. And then after you work with them, you can do kind of like a little exit ticket or a little exit survey after maybe a coaching cycle or an extended period of work with you, where you ask them to give a little feedback on the impact that it had in their classroom and what they walked away with. So that it's kind of more anecdotal, but it is valuable to you to be able to say, look at the impact that I've had in these classrooms. And then another direction to go is to actually track your time and make sure that whenever you are recording your time, whether it's, I mean, you can use Google and actually do like really nice reports with your Google Sheets. You can color code using your calendar. You whatever, however you want to do it, you want to have somewhere a record of how much time you've spent on random clerical tasks that were not really your job, but you were required to do. Time spent in meetings, time spent facilitating PLC meetings, time spent in classrooms. You want to have this really broken down so that you can share with your administration and say, yes, I agree that, you know, that my coaching hasn't been as impactful as I would have liked it to have been. Do you know that I spent, you know, 7 days this month subbing in classrooms? And it was December, so there weren't that many days to start with, you know? So we have to be able to share that and kind of justify our work. It's unfortunate, but the reality is coaching positions are being cut at pretty high rates in a lot of places. Whenever funding goes, coaches are among the first to go. And so if we cannot justify the work that we've done, then it's really hard to convince people to keep us around.
There are so many coaching topics that you and I can go through. And I think that there are so many coaching topics that coaches are looking for information for. The best way to go learn about all of these great things all in one spot is the Simply Coaching Summit that's happening this summer from July 6th through 8th. You can find out more information over at simplycoaching.co. You can, of course, check out all of my resources over at yourdigitallearningcoach.com. We've got a lot of digital downloads. You can always check out my book, Impact Standards. But Chrissy, you've got an amazing website, podcast, newsletter, broadcast, satellite, radio. What are you doing? You've got every single thing over there under the sun. Tell us where we can learn more about the great things that you're doing.
Well, buzzingwithmissbeak.com, of course, is a good place to start. If you're looking for blog posts, I've got posts there dating back to 2011. I don't know that I would recommend digging back that far, but you can definitely hunt around and find something on about every topic. And then, of course, my new membership is instructionalcoachingclub.com, and you can check it out to see about signing up monthly or quarterly. There are resource drops every month. It's a really fun place to be. I just wanted to add a little joy to the work that coaches do, because I feel like schools can be a really heavy place to be right now. And I just want to help coaches with practical strategies and tools they can use at their school, but also to add some joy to the work, because it can be soul sucking on those hard days, those days where you have to justify your existence in this position, despite knowing how important it is. And I wanted to give something to coaches that would add a little excitement back to their work. So you can check it out at instructionalcoachingclub.com.
We are going to make sure that we have links to this and all of the different resources for Chrissy over on our website. You can check out everything over at teachercast.net/podcast. You can find out more about this show if you go over and check out all the resources on Digital Learning Today podcast. You can find this on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and wherever you guys get your audio and video. We want to say thank you guys so much for checking this out. Hope you guys have a chance to check out the Simply Coaching Summit again. Simplycoaching.co on July 6th through 8th. Check out everything from Jim Knight, Gretchen Bridgers, Chrissy, Stephanie Howell, Allison Peterson, Nicole, myself, hundreds of amazing resources for coaches all in one single spot. And that wraps up this episode of Digital Learning Today. On behalf of Chrissy and everybody here on TeacherCast, my name is Jeff Bradbury, reminding you guys to keep up the great work in your classrooms and continue sharing your passions with your students.